I appreciate all that you've said, Mr. Price, and this is not the place nor the opportune time for us to have a discussion. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a card-paying member of the Democratic Labour Party, nor you don't have to state what religion you belong to. You can come to the Democratic Labour Party. I can invite you to come and do a lecture there after the 12th of August. And interaction, we can get to have a complete discussion of where the pros and cons should be and what should be done and what should not be done. I thank you for being independent and having given the Democratic Labour Party its rightful place in this era. And I make this statement at age 96 that the Democratic Labour Party is well aware and we accept full responsibility for what did take place, and we are on the road of making sure that we rebound and we reorganize in the interest of the masses, for which we have done since 1995. Mr. Price, I thank you.
All right, sir. You take good care, Mr. Watson. Good hearing you after so many years. It's 12:01. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I am well, thank you. And how are you?
I am fine. Before you get into your point, I hope that you wouldn't have a senior moment and forget what you called about. What does emancipation mean to you?
Everything.
Explain.
Everything.
Explain.
Okay. It puts us in a thought, a mind of thought. You know, you look, you reflect. You see where you were, where you came from, and where you are now.
And what have you come up with? What do you feel? Do you think that Barbadians give enough? Do you think they think deeply enough about what emancipation is all of, what the whole significance around emancipation?
Not a whole lot of us do that. Honestly, not a whole lot.
So what do you think can be done to change that?
Sorry?
What do you think that can be done to change that?
I guess we have to be more educated. You know, you have to educate the young ones about the past. And I guess with education, you know, you have the knowledge of the history and all that, then you should be okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for indulging me. And you you wanted to talk about...
Yes, I wanted to say something pertaining to the Anglican diocese.
Oh, great. Uh-huh.
And not being able to select a bishop.
Yes, go right ahead.
See, I'm of the opinion that if we cannot select a bishop of our own and have to go outside, something is fundamentally wrong with us. There's a serious divide. Each time they vote, they come up locked. So why can't somebody decide, okay, this is the position, we choose A or we choose B? Mm-hmm. But instead of doing that, they are prepared and happily prepared to go to bring someone else in to be the bishop. And I think that's wrong. We should be able to do better than this.
As a member of the church, how do you feel about a non-Barbadian coming over and being bishop?
Okay. No hatred, okay? But what I'm saying, we should be able as a people to choose one from our own. Mm-hmm. They're not 200 people that you have to choose from. They're just two. You want to tell me that something could be so wrong that we can't get one of those people to be head of our church?
It's not really wrong. It's more like hardened attitudes on both sides.
Attitude, right, because it's an attitude problem, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want A, and if I can't get A, then nothing's going to happen. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. But I have a little quotation for them, and I'll leave it out there. The one thing worse than a vacant mind is one filled with spiteful thoughts. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Very interesting.
I hope that they are listening, and I hope that they would have to go overseas to bring somebody in. It bothers me as an Anglican. I'm perturbed about it.
But tell me something. How long have you been in the Anglican Church? I mean, how long have you been a member?
Oh, my goodness. 4 years, sir.
Years is 20, 30, 40?
40, 50.
Okay. You've seen a decline in membership. What do you think that has taken place?
Oh, man. It is true. I don't know. You hear so many different things. You hear about it being too quiet. The young people don't want to come because they don't have anything to offer them. And you hear all that.
Yeah, but the church does a lot. I mean, I know that the Anglican Church does a lot of work within the communities around them. I'm aware of that. And some of these things have been highlighted in the media over the years, but not extensively, I would admit that. Okay, because they don't really talk that much.
No, they don't. And they don't really like to say, oh, I've done this, I've done that. We've been doing this. We've been feeding these people. We've been, you know, they're not of that.
So,
they rather do things quietly, and get on. But, yes, there has been a decline. But I guess people want, you can't have it both ways. You can't have the worldly things and the spiritual things too. You know, you can't mix them up.
Mm-hmm.
So they go their own way.
Did you hear Reverend Charles Morris?
I did.
What is your reaction? What is your reaction to what he said?
That's what prompted me to call.
Okay.
And that's why I left that quotation out there.
All right. I'll read this WhatsApp here with you now. I agree with most of what Father Morris had said. I, as an Anglican, I am so very disappointed in the powers that be behavior. That is what is damaging the country in all aspects. Too much people want to rule or have dominance. For me, it is not fair for one person to rule for over 10 years in no field. We should always give others a chance to grow and to lead. Giving the younger the post, he would have to be there for years. Where then is the chance for another how long down the road? If the rumors of who would get the chance to come in are true, I am an Anglican baptized and confirmed, held some post in the church. I will welcome him with open arms. I have attended his church overseas, and he is a pleasant and humble reverend. So who's this? Well, you may not be able to say this. But is there a rumor of a particular individual who may get the nod to come to Barbados?
I have not heard that yet, really, who it would be. I haven't heard that. But I can understand what that individual is saying as well, but not that you don't want to welcome somebody from outside or whatever, but why do we have to go down that road?
Again.
Why do we do it here?
Mm-hmm.
We can get somebody from here.
Yeah.
But it's spiteful thoughts and behaviors and attitudes that has this lot.
Mm-hmm. Actually, this person goes on to write, if this person comes back, it would get me back to church for sure because I don't go around these Anglicans at present. Their attitude and behavior leaves a lot to be desired.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well,
believe though me, it's at the top.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. What?
It's at the top.
Okay.
It starts from the top.
It does.
Yes.
It does. All right, my dear. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy your day. Thank you very much for calling and contributing to this whole debate of what is happening in the Anglican Church, and we sincerely have to hope and pray that things could improve because it's really, the Anglican Church does a lot of work in the community. As I said, I'm quite aware of the amount of work that some of the churches do. And am I talking, when I said work, I mean how they actually help impoverished individuals on a day-to-day basis, how they help send people to school, how they help to feed people. These are things that are being done very, very quietly by congregations in the Anglican churches across Barbados. A lot of people may not know that, but that is what is happening. Apart from that, They also have a lot of counseling programs ongoing, and this they're dealing with youth. They deal with married couples, and these things, as I said, are happening very, very quietly. So they're doing a lot of work, but it's just, you know, they don't talk much about it. But they are doing a tremendous amount of work, and it would be a pity to see, it is a pity to see that they could not find some middle ground where they could select one of their own to be the new bishop. Anyhow, we go back to the phone lines. It's 12:10. Remember, we break at 12:30 for the latest. Good afternoon. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Hello. How are you? You finally got in.
Yes, look. Mm-hmm. I hope they don't bring no priest from outside. They better pick Reverend Rogers and let him be here. We don't want another priest from outside. They can't settle that in Barbados.
And you're decided about that.
Yes, Reverend Rogers. Yes, mm-hmm. Rogers. Mr. Price.
Yes.
Do you want Barbados to be a one-party state? Huh?
One party?
Yes.
The last election, as far as I know, there were about, what, four genuine political parties now in Barbados, as far as I know.
Okay. When I listen to some callers, you know, they say, like, oh, the DAP didn't want, the DAP didn't bounce back, they will come back. It always be a DAP and a BLP. So they call that calling in and saying they don't want nothing to do with DAP. The DAP will be back. So I don't know what all these fussing and fighting. They took talk till the cows come home, the DAP will be back. So a lot of them talking that they want it to be a one state, one party government.
I really think that a lot of people who make these statements, mm-hmm. they make it because they are genuinely disappointed and hurt at what transpired over the last few years in terms of the management of the country. Just let me finish.
Yeah.
And one has to, if you're a member of the Democratic Labour Party, you immediately put up your barriers and become very defensive. And you want to say, well, you're against us and blah, 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 blah. But the reality is that the management of the country was not the best. And we are in the state that we are in largely because of a lot of that what went down. And people will be angry about this and they will make these statements.
Who people? Some people, not some people.
Some people.
Let me tell you, I'm not going by nobody say, bring the proof that what the DLP do. Bring out there and let me see.
The evidence is there. The evidence is there. We are talking about the running of the management of the country. I am not dealing with the corruption because I have made my statement on that already. Okay? I'm not dealing with that. I don't talk about things that I cannot prove. Mm-hmm. All right? I am dealing with the management of the economy. Okay? There were 20 plus downgrades. Okay, the management of the economy was poor. We were talking about $2 billion in foreign reserves that were run down when this new government came in. You had $220 million of reserves. All right, so let's be real here.
There was real
mismanagement of the economy. The evidence is there for that.
Okay. All right,
and that is the only thing that I personally will want to deal with because the evidence is there.
Anyhow, okay. I don't want to go to that, right? But right now, we're having a big cabinet ministry right now. Right now, we might even be going back into recession. A lot of things that happening now, nobody can not talking. People talking about carrots and different things, but the real issues, the people out here is not talking about.
But the reality is,
do not blame one person. It's just a matter of time. Things will be seen and hear about.
But the reality, Miss Undecided, is this.
Yes.
What is happening today in Barbados comes out of what we went through. We can't just fix it. You had an election.
Mm-hmm.
What you had was in that, as a result of that election, you have a change of personnel, a change of policy, okay? A change of approach, a change of way we manage things. But a lot of the underlying problems that surfaced or got worse during those last 10 years are still with us. And the legacy of those problems is what we are facing today and will continue to face for several years to
let
come.
Let me talk now. I heard you early on talking about transport. You say you're bearing the B's or the D's, but all along, y'all was blaming the DLP for transport. So what changed your mouth now?
I am not changing my mouth. We were dealing with the concourse. We were talking about the Fairchild Street bus terminal. If you're going to quote me, don't misquote me. All right?
I am misquoting you.
We were dealing with that. And I am simply saying what I've said before, that you also have to look at the management of the different institutions. I made the point, and I was very specific, and you can go back and listen to this day after midnight tonight, where I said that it happened during the last administration, which is the DLP, and it happened in the administration before that, which was a BLP in the 14 years, where you found that because of the way in which people who run these institutions manage that, what they do is that they give the policymakers a bad name. So, because in a lot of cases, a lot of the problems that we see on a day-to-day, and a lot of the interaction that takes place in different departments, in government departments, with Barbadians going to these different departments and dealing with these attitudes or dealing with systems that are in place, are not things being put in place by the policymakers. They're being put in place by the people who run these things on a day-to-day basis. And it gives these things a bad name. So the problems that you may be experiencing now with BRA or one another agency, when it was not a BRA, you were still getting some of those problems. So in other words, right back when Mr. Arthur was in power, and I'm just going to go back to that period, you were getting some of these problems. Those things should have been fixed. And so you changed the name, but you didn't change the personnel, or you certainly didn't change some of the regulations. So the same things, the same annoying, niggling problems still continue. And this is what you have to talk about if you want to change, make a comprehensive change for the better.
Okay, I don't want to go into that no more. I got two other things to say. I want to know what you want to change Mr. Baradee. I mean, our Baradee from in my birth month for. Leave it right there. Baradee done a lot for Barbados. And we do not want it changed.
But if you say that, right, you are then taking me again out of context. I said,
uh-huh,
Errol Barrow Day, which is what, January 21st?
Yes.
As well as Heroes Day, which is on the birthday of Sir Grantley Adams. I would like to stop both of them from being public holidays. In my view, they are the heroes of Barbados because of what they and their lieutenants would have done, and they all should be celebrated on Emancipation Day, where we can celebrate our heroes in a more comprehensive manner. They are partisan holidays, clear, pure and simple, and your statement demonstrates why. They are purely partisan holidays, and they do not contribute, in my view, to the whole development of this country and to the whole ethos of what we should be looking at. That is all I'm saying.
Thank you. Okay, I said one Errol Barrow Day as 21st.
And you can still have it. It will be Errol Barrow Day. It will just not be a public holiday. You can celebrate Sir Grantley Adams' birthday. It just won't be a public holiday. Okay? That is my 1 cent worth. And you know we done with 1 cent already.
My opinion is different to yours anyhow.
But of course, because it's partisan. And that is the whole point. We need to stop those two partisan holidays, because we have to start taking a comprehensive view of where we are going as a people.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I want to know why.
I don't expect you to grasp that one, though. Anyhow.
Right. Okay. Pardon me?
Because you're being partisan. So I didn't expect you to grasp
partisan.
That.
I guess me. Let me tell you.
I hear people here cussing me for the Grant Adams there too. And I don't expect them to grasp that either because they're being partisan too. So it's not a problem.
I want to know why they put Buster statue out by Hackett Hall. Why they put it out there? Let me go down. Buster work in St. Fred. St. Fred is a special place. He worked on the Canfield in St. Philip, on the plantation in St. Philip. The rebellion started in St. Philip with the burning of cans and so on, right? So I want to know why they didn't put the statue in St. Philip, where they put it by Hackett Hall. You can answer me that?
No, I can't answer that. I have my opinion on that, but this is one time that I would not share that opinion.
You want it removed from there?
Me? No. Uh-huh. I don't want anything moved or anything.
Mm-hmm. But it started in St. Philip, though, so I feel the statue should be in St. Philip. St. Philip is a special place.
You put statues. My only answer to you on that is that you put statues and other monuments where most people can view them.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. So you have a blessed day here?
You too, my dear. And thank you. Great hearing from you. We'll take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Don't forget, we're breaking the next six minutes for the latest. And so we take at least get one or two more calls in very quickly. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm good. Happy Emancipation Day. It happens to be the day on which I met my wife 15 years ago, so it will always have a special place in my heart.
That is good.
And I want to say a special appreciation and respect to those champions of our ancestry and history, Dr. Derek, I think it's Murray?
Yeah, Dr. Derek Murray, yeah.
Right, David Kamishyong and all those who have been championing these things. I try to do my little bit. I don't know as much as I think I should know, but again, the education, as the lady was saying, is very important. No, because I don't have much time.
Do you think we should be doing much more for emancipation?
We can be.
And
we
what sort of things you have in mind?
Well, I am not ashamed to admit that I did not know about the monument that the Prime Minister highlighted just the other day. I was not aware it was there, and I pass out there all the time, as a matter of fact.
You mean the one there with the old plaza?
Yes, I said, oh my God.
I purposely said that as against saying Golden Square.
Well, I purposely said that. I thought I knew where Golden Square was. I said, oh my God, wifey, I was not aware that that is where it was. So
yes.
Little things like that do matter, and it speaks to why we have been neglecting it, because I don't think people are about. I wasn't aware, so you speak for me. Now, Mr. Price, you have been in a very romantic mood today. You've been romanticizing about church and about the politics. And I was smiling to myself. You know, comedians have this thing where something just happened and they make a joke about it. They would then say, oh, okay, sorry.
Cartoonists too.
Too soon? Yeah, cartoonist. Was it too soon? Like, too soon to joke about it? So when you mentioned the DLP, you romanticize about them. The response you've been getting is because people are saying, too soon. It has not even been 100 days yet for this administration, and you trying to go back, too soon. I understand what you're trying to do, but it's too soon. All respect to Mr. Astor B. Watts. He's never strayed away. I think the one thing that will always be my mantra is everything rises and falls on leadership. That is what's taking place in the Anglican Church, and it is exactly and precisely what took place in politics in Barbados, because I'm not going to separate the two. Yeah. You can see a clear, marked difference between how this Prime Minister is leading as opposed to what we have had before.
Yeah.
The challenge for the DLP, if I dare say it, is that they have to deal with persons who are willfully blind, misundecided. I don't like to call your name or attack other callers, but that was a demonstration, exhibit A, in being willfully blind, that she don't know what we're talking about, and nothing was done, and things will come out. Everything come out already, and the 30 love. I mean, if the 30 love does not say anything to that kind of mentality, nothing will. Because still convinced, and I can tell you there are lots and lots of persons who supported the DLP who still cannot believe that they didn't get a single seat to this day. And it's not yet 100 days, so it's too early. Mm-hmm. And when you have callers like the one, I can't remember if it's you or Mr. Ellis that he spoke to, he calls and his voice is clearly affected. And he's very good at it. And he changes his voice up and he spoke this week about broad nose front down and bringing race into things. And I was here smiling. I said, wow. The passion is the same and the intonation is the same. So we know who he is.
We know who he is.
He is extremely, I will give him this much. He should be in Laugh It Off or doing a serious screenplay because he does change.
And that would be right up his street, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be. Beautiful change of voice. I love the intonation, but that is the giveaway. The intonation is identical to when he's speaking in his formerly official capacity.
True.
No, I was mindful too of the facts, when the facts and the truth hit Miss Undecided just now. She said, oh, I don't want to deal with that. Let's move on. Sweet for days, no, Mr. Price? Sweet for days. As soon as you hit him with facts, sweet for days. No, Mr. Johnson, I still love a little brother. Don't get tired. Sorry, I have to stick there. I am partial to him. That's my boy. No, this country, I just want to zero in on quickly.
60 seconds
of that. Enjoying. Yes, I am enjoying when I see several ministers across ministries working on the same problem together. That has blessed me. I am so thankful to see that. It says to me that I'm not going to go and dig up the road and then waterworks. We'll have to come and complain about it after and fix it behind me. I like that. That's the approach. I'm hoping that it can be maintained, but I like how they're using different ministers across ministries to communicate and build relationships across ministries, not fight up against each other. I hope that can be maintained. Like most other persons, I'm concerned about the energy levels of the Prime Minister, but she keeps on going. And I am thankful that that is the benchmark has now been shifted in the right direction. I'm looking forward to Barbados doing what it used to do, and I'm hoping that we all can still lock arms together regardless of your political background. And thank you for this, Mr. Price. Love you, Mr. Johnson. Have a wonderful day, and I will see all the Shikis on the road sometime today.
And on that positive note, we'll take a break for the latest, and we'll be with you right after 12:30. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for holding.
Good afternoon, Sanka.
How are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
There's happy emancipation there.
Same to you.
I'm hearing today, which I just cannot sit by and allow to come out and to be to come out on this day, especially starting with this idea that the gentleman has that slaves were well treated. Okay, there are people who chain up a dog in a yard all day, 365 days a year. Feed it every day and give it enough rope to run around the yard.
No, sir.
And then they say
No, sir. Sorry, I need to interrupt you. I have seen they give it enough rope to get out of the pen that it may be in and just get back into it.
Okay, no problem. But I'm
less than 6 feet.
But just a second. I am saying.
And they tell you they treat it well.
Oh, no, but that's my point. Okay? It doesn't matter. Right. All I'm saying is that the idea people have of what good treatment is relates to what they believe the value of that particular thing is to them. Mm-hmm. And what we do not understand, especially what a gentleman does not understand, that the idea that a human being was other than a human being, that a black man was other than a human being, is not something that he can wrap his mind around. Okay? That is what slavery was. The slave, in many cases, was less valuable to the owner than a dog. Okay? And the slave was a commodity, not a human on the same level as themselves, as a white person. You were a commodity. And when you do forensic investigation in terms of digging up graves that in which slaves were buried, and then you analyze what they died from, okay, the conditions, one, you look at the age that the majority of the slaves died at, which in a lot of cases was very young. You also, there have been when you look at the condition of the bones, mm-hmm. you see in terms of the malnutrition.
The fractures see, as well.
And malnutrition mm-hmm. on a level that we do not understand and cannot understand. And then on top of that there is, when you look at the muscle and the separation between the bones that mm-hmm. has occurred, mm-hmm. there's evidence to show that these people were worked to death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the concept, we don't have a concept or understanding of what being worked to death means, okay? Because it is something so alien to our existence right now that, but it is just beyond measure, beyond fathom. You will work to death. And it's the same thing as some person who buys a car or whatever, works it and works it and works it, because the idea is that a car is so cheap that when they finish with that car, that is last year's model, they can buy a new one. People were commodities. Okay? We were not human. And this now brings me to the importance of Emancipation Day and the issues that we have in this country right now. A lady called in and spoke about, we need more education. No. We don't need more education. We need educating to start. And we need a different type of education. If you consider this here, Barbados was virtually the center of the slave trade for hundreds of years in the world. Okay? In the world. We were the center of it. Now, I'm not saying that there to be as a matter of pride. I'm saying that
you
as
have
a matter
to explain
of
that,
historical
though.
Fact.
But you have
because
to explain
we were at the apartheid Golden Triangle. In short, the
oh, you mean from that perspective?
From that perspective.
Okay.
So the first piece of land that was closest to Africa, okay, that you stopped at when you came across the Atlantic was Barbados. So therefore, this is one of the first places that you stopped at in terms of having to replenish your supplies or whatever. And then you moved on from there to all the other parts of the New World. And then on top of that there, the model of slavery, which is in Virginia and the whole United States, was founded in Barbados. Okay? So, as I said, I'm not saying these things as a matter of pride. I am saying them as a matter of historical fact. And this is one of the things which we have deliberately ignored in this country. Okay? When we talk about Emancipation Day, and it's just a holiday, and what is far more important is Kadumen Day and the celebration of Jump Up. So therefore, Emancipation Day and the importance of Emancipation Day is lost.
Totally.
And then I also have to give you some licks as well.
Mm-hmm. Come
because
on.
You see, when we talk about Emancipation Day and this particular event, and then we start talking about Heroes Day and all these other things around it, in a way, it's to me no. Okay, Emancipation Day is also not just about monuments. It has to be about our history and understanding the foundations of where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
The whole of this civilized world was built on slavery. And in many parts of this world right now, it continues to be built on slavery. Whether it's slavery, it continues in Africa, whether it's slavery that continues in China, whether there's slavery that happens in factories where people are chained of particular piece of equipment in order to produce the bags and stuff which we walk about and brag about, okay, that we get cheap and all that sort of stuff. We do not understand this thing because we choose to ignore it. We want to turn our backs on it. You have to ask yourself, why is it that in this country, that as I said, was at the center of slave trade for so many, for centuries, that there is nothing, no slave museum, okay? as there is, there was a slave museum built, I think, in one of the other smaller islands or what have you. There is a slave museum in England. There is the museum celebrating African history or what have you, the civil African American history in the Washington Mall. In Barbados, there is nothing that speaks of that. And that is a deliberate act by, I don't want to say our leaders, but it upsets me to no end.
Let me put a pin there with you. And this is why I've been saying, for whoever wants to hear, that we need to take a comprehensive look at emancipation and our heritage. And this is why I have
to take a comprehensive look at education.
All right. Okay.
And what it means to be a Barbadian.
Right. But the whole point I'm making, is that, and I made that point earlier, so I'm not going to go over it because we have limited time now, right? But the whole point I'm making is that when it comes to our heritage, our history, okay, we are talking about prior to emancipation, post, and then post-emancipation, pre-emancipation, post-emancipation. We are talking about the period in post-emancipation, we are talking about the development of what we went through in the 1930s, how we developed towards independence and whatnot. That's why I've been saying that what has happened in terms of our heroes, those people like Sir Grantley Adams and Errol Barrow and the work that they did and their lieutenants did to bring us to where we are today is key. That's all part of our heritage, all part of our history, of our post-emancipation history, which must all, in my view, be pulled together as a separate and a distinct celebration that can run right alongside our major cultural exposition, which is the whole crop over thing. And that is my argument. But it goes a little deeper than that. The points that were being made by Mark Williams earlier about the signage within Bridgetown, where you actually can pinpoint different areas throughout the city where the slaves landed, where they were sold from, and some historical data. These things are, to my mind, necessary because we have a World Heritage Site, okay? And in my view, one of the things that is totally lacking, and I've been to other World Heritage Sites, so I know what I'm speaking about. One of the things that are lacking me really in major ways that we have not even tried to develop is the level of signage so that the average citizen, not just a tourist, will know, you know, the significance of certain areas, the significance of certain buildings, and that type of thing. It's a comprehensive approach, and that's what I'm suggesting. Go ahead,
Sandra. Mm-hmm. I understand where y'all are coming from in that respect, okay? But
and that's just one aspect.
I understand. I understand. But please, when they talk about education, I'm going so much deeper than that. Mm-hmm. Because as far as I'm concerned, talking about having these signages and all that sort of stuff, yeah, that's great, okay? But
it's reinforcement of a message to it. It's reinforcement as people go about their business on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes they will stand up and read.
No, Sankar, that's not going to happen like that, okay? Because many times people walk on the boardwalk, and there's a plaque, let's say, that's on the boardwalk, and nobody looks at that plaque to take the time to read it. People will go up to the, what you call it, where the Yalbara statue is or what have you, the art that's there, and a lot of people don't even know that there's something written on it. Okay, all those sort of things. We go through spaces and are oblivious in a lot of cases to the significance of these spaces unless we have an idea of the education and our history. And we go to spaces intentionally to understand those things. And when we have to develop these things. Now, this is one, the problems which I'm speaking about right now in terms of education, I need now to extend it in terms of the conversation which we are having in terms of the political, the partisan aspect of the things, okay? We make all, a lot of these different things partisan. And institutions, we like to wrap institutions in cloaks of superhero cloaks, more or less. And we have to remember institutions are ultimately made up of people, okay? And the weaknesses and strengths of the people and the intentions of those people are what determine the success and the abilities of those institutions. We have, one of the problems that the Democratic Labour Party has right now is exactly what that man earlier spoke to you, called and said. He is an apologetic member of the Democratic Labour Party. And this is the biggest problem. A lot of people in that leading this party or who are members of this party feel that there is nothing to apologize for. So therefore, they are not in any position to make any apology. They're not prepared to make any apology. Despite the fact that the country is telling them the first thing that you need to do is to apologize, to recognize what you've done wrong and apologize for it and then move on. Ashby Watts can come and speak, but he is not a current leader of the party. So he can apologize and take all the wins. Oh, sorry, yes, we made a mistake, and we will rebuild from that. But it is not for him, in my opinion, to do. It is for the leaders, the current leaders of the Democratic Labour Party, to say, look, these are to analyze what went wrong and say, look, we're sorry. This is what we plan to do in order to take this part to rebuild the party. Now, you may believe that the Democratic Labour Party will rise again, but there's no guarantee of that. Because it used to be a conservative party in Barbados that led Barbados for how many years? Until the Barbados Labour Party and the Democratic Labour Party and other parties came about. The UPP and other new parties are trying to be formed and trying to fight for the same thing. So therefore, there's no guarantee that the Democratic Labour Party can survive. There's the hope that it will survive. But unless they put in the work in order to make it something that the people of Barbados want in their future, that is what will happen to them.
All right,
they will
sir.
Go the way of the dodo.
All right, sir. Take good care. Thanks. You. Nice hearing you. We take one last call. You're on Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Am I on the program?
Yes, you are. Thank you for holding so long.
Yes, sir. I have a few points to make, but...
Go right ahead and make them.
Yeah. I just want to say I'm in agreement with you with the Emancipation Day holiday rather than the Earl Burr and the Heroes Day holiday. I think it would make more sense to use the Emancipation holiday. You will get more things done and more activities. That's number one. Number two, I was at the semifinals two Fridays ago. Mm-hmm. And I am happy to report to you that out of the nine that going forward, I picked eight of them using my background in judging and stuff like that. I do my own judging at the semifinals. So out of the nine, I picked eight of them. The other point I want to make is the point about the election of a new bishop for Barbados. Mm-hmm. I as an Anglican, confirmed in 1974, I was always close to the Anglican Church. I believe that when this situation goes to the House of Bishops, I think that the what they should do is to examine the results of the local election here, and based on their findings, they should have an obligation to choose one of the two candidates that were vying for this position. I don't think that they should bring any person from the outside to head the Anglican Church unless that is a Barbadian priest. Probably living overseas, but I don't even think that that's the best thing. But the laity is very clear that they wanted John Rogers to take the Anglican Church of Barbados forward. And I really, really think that the House of Bishops should examine the results, the trends of all the voting that went ahead and based on their findings to choose one of them. My choice would be the younger one because I think that he have a vision. And he have the ability to take the Anglican Church forward, especially with the young people, because I recognize that the young people is gravitating towards Father John Rogers, and I think that he should be the person to lead the Anglican Church.
You heard what? Before you go to the final point, do you heard what Charles Morris had to say? What's your response to that?
No, I didn't hear what Charles Morris.
Because you know
Morris
he said he had sided with the clergy. Candidate.
You meant in the earlier elections?
Yes, in the elections. He was instead of the clergy.
I'm understanding that, but the process is that you must have 2/3 majority from the laity and 2/3 majority from the clergy. Mm-hmm. John Rogers was getting his 2/3 majority from the laity. The Dean Gibson was not getting 2/3 majority from either the laity or the clergy. So what I'm saying is that it is more favored for John Rogers. I mean, it is a process that you have to go through, and you cannot really change the rules immediately like that. The requirement is that you should have 2/3 from the laity and the clergy from both houses. John Rogers was getting 2/3 from the laity, but he could not command it on the clergy. The other guy was not getting 2/3 majority either from the clergy or the laity. So I think that the clergy's focus is wrong, and this point about if you get the younger guy, no other priest would not raise. Well, when Bishop Gomez came here, he was 46 years old, and all of the Anglicans had
no,
to
he was 30.
Was
he was in his
then.
30s. He was 30 something.
I think he was 46.
No. He was in his 40s. He was in his 30s.
Well, okay, that even make it
he
worse.
He was in his 30s.
You know, and he was brought here because of this same situation here now.
Yeah.
And everybody, all the Anglicans and all the clergy, they had to accept that. They have to accept that there's a bishop coming from overseas to lead the diocese, and we go forward from there. But I think that based on the trend of the voting, that John Rogers should be the pick to lead. And one lady asked something about, I think you asked a question about the decline within the Anglican Church. I think mm-hmm. it was you
yeah,
asked
did,
that question.
Yeah, I did, yes.
Yes. Yeah, obviously, you will see a decline in the Anglican Church because, you know, you have new religions coming up, people trying to open their own church and whatnot, people look this like this up-tempo beat, and so on and so forth. Some people do not like the noisiness in the church. I personally do not like it, not that I will not go to a Pentecostal church, but they have a real difficulty is when you ask them persons to reflect and pray. You have some person beating the drum and playing a little guitar in your ears. It kind of breaks your concentration.